It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie!
Alright, welcome to Speak Out. It's Friday, May 13th, 2022. That's right, I said Friday the 13th. Not a big deal to you though, right?
No, my mom was actually born on Friday the 13th.
Really?
Yeah, which is amazing. My dad was somewhat superstitious and it was amazing. He must not have figured that out or something.
Interesting.
That she was actually born on Friday the 13th.
So I had to ask Supervisor Chair Ron Gould, who is our guest today. Ooh, like how I snuck that in?
That was good.
I had to ask you about the war in Ukraine. What's going on? I don't hear it in the headlines like I normally do. It's not even 100 days old yet.
No, the baby formula shortage has pushed Ukraine off of the news feed.
That's the new bright, shiny object for the media,
sure.
Right? Except this is a real deal.
It's definitely problematic.
We've got an update on that. Ron just made a phone call to his office to get an update on that for WIC recipients. We'll give you that update in a second. But excuse me, talk about we're not going to take it. We should have played take this job and shove it, right? We've got breaking news here. And thank you so much to Roger Galloway for providing this press release. But County Health Director Denise Burley is leaving her position on August 5th. She's turned in her resignation, and she's been the director for nearly 4 years, announced her resignation, and will leave her post on August 5th. Denise Burley served through a tough period with the COVID-19 pandemic front and center under demanding circumstances, and Burley says it was a difficult decision, but I'm looking forward to starting a new chapter in my life. So apparently she hasn't been on LinkedIn or anything to find another job. And without being specific, Burley says she will now spend more time with her family and friends before deciding what's next in her professional career. Do you have anything to add to that?
That sounds like the politician answer when you lose an election.
Now
I have more time to spend with my family and friends.
That's funny. I was watching Super Pumped. It's about the founder of Uber, and when his mother died at around the same time, the board was trying to force him out, and he resigned from Uber, saying that he needed to spend more time with his dad and focus, you know, on that following the death of his mother. So, yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because there were other options. I mean, there were other reasons that were very hostile that the board took over the company.
Sure.
But anyway.
And that happens quite a bit. I read the family version of that with Dollar General.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, I read their book, and it was just that kind of stuff, pushing family members out and all kinds of stuff.
So County Manager Sam Elters said the county will now go through a recruitment process. It'll be both internal and external. That's interesting that he said that. He's not saying it's going to be external.
Yeah, no, you want to look at both internal and external. You want to look at the people that are already on staff and see whether they're ready to move up and
right.
take over that position, but you don't want to limit yourself to people that already work for you. You want to take, you know, cast a broad net also.
Right. And he says, we look forward to hiring the best fit and getting an individual who will be the most suitable public health director for Mojave County. The goal is to fill the position and have an overlap of a couple weeks before Burley leaves on August 5th. So very, very interesting. But I have to ask, and I asked you this off the air, how much did her detractors at county supervisors meetings over and over and over again, the repetition of having hecklers in the audience, how much do you think that played a role in her resignation?
I had heard that it was weighing on her, you know, that to constantly have people make snide comments at the meeting about it and whatnot. And the other thing I thought was a misconception was that she was supposed, that the detractors thought she was supposed to be a nurse. And you don't have to be a nurse to have that position. It's a managerial position. You manage people. You know, you got to have somewhat of a background in that, but you don't have to actually have a nursing degree to manage people. You need to, the ability to manage people is more important than technical knowledge in that, because you have people that are there that have the technical knowledge that you're going to lean on. But I just want to thank her for hanging on through the whole pandemic, because I don't know, had she quit in the middle of the pandemic, you'd have had a hard time. Because anybody that was qualified for that job, would you really want to jump into that, you know, the COVID hotbed in the midst of the pandemic?
Right. I know there are a lot of county employees, especially in management positions, that have a ton of vacation time saved up. You know, I mean, almost a month's worth to some people I've talked to.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that's wild.
We limit how much of that they can use to retire early.
Especially during a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how much are you going to take? Oh, because if you retire early, that's kind of a severance, right?
Yeah. At one time, they let them accumulate quite a few days of, so you had people, you know, retiring a year and a half early.
Sure. Absolutely. I get that. But, okay, so that said, Ron, that poses an interesting question. You have a vote on the board, obviously. You're the county supervisor's chair. When the next health director comes in, do you want to see some sort of nursing degree?
Not necessarily, because I think the ability to manage people is more important than having a nursing degree in that position.
What kind of experience would you like to see from the next health director?
Well, you're going to look for somebody that's got some experience in managing people. Because a lot of times, and even in the air conditioning business, you know, in any business you see this, you have people that do the field work that have that, the knowledge of that. But when they get moved into a managerial position, a lot of times they either don't like it or they can't do it. So, and I used to work for one of the biggest mechanical contractors in the country, in the world actually. Mm-hmm. And that would happen. You'd see people move from a field position. They were like a foreman or a superintendent, and they would move into some kind of project management position where they were managing the whole project. And they'd be there, you know, 6 months later, you'd run into the guy again and he'd be back wearing work clothes, you know, and because he just didn't like, you know, didn't like doing the job,
right,
or he wasn't, you know, that was not his forte.
Would you like to see somebody, obviously somebody in the healthcare field, but what about somebody with pandemic experience?
No, that would be great. Mm-hmm. Somebody that already went through the fire.
Right.
And part of that, you know, the health department does the restaurant inspections also, which is, that's not really, it's sort quasi-medical, I guess, but it's a food safety issue. So that's part of what they do. And they also do septic tank.
Yeah,
permits,
sure.
And that kind of stuff.
That makes sense. All right, so, big news today. Denise Burley going to be stepping down. I like how she did it, though. It wasn't like 2 weeks' notice, you know. It's like, here's my notice. She gives the board and the county and staff time to look for an internal or external candidate and hopefully provide some sort of overlap before August 5th.
Sure. No, that's a way better.
It's a classy move.
Yeah, and it also, I think that benefits you in the future. You know, when you go, you're looking for another job, how'd you leave the previous job?
Yeah, right.
You know,
did
you get PO'd and walk off, you know, or, you know, or did you give notice and whatnot?
I have a story for that, but I'm not going there right now.
I think everybody's done that.
Yeah, oh, I hope so. That makes mine look even more tame. So, anyway, let's get to, Well, we'll talk about sports a little bit later. Phoenix Suns not faring very well last night, but I may have an update on the start time of Sunday's game by the time we come out of either the first or second break. We'll have to keep an eye on that. So anyway, the Gould Give Back. Everybody's talking about it now. I'm trying to get
that's your tagline.
That nomenclature.
It's like Ultra MAGA.
I'm trying to get that into the lexicon, right? No, King MAGA.
King MAGA.
King MAGA. Does that make you a Prince MAGA?
I don't know what that means.
Anyway, the Gould Give Back. What's going on with that?
Oh,
and explain what that is for people that are going, what?
Yeah, essentially what happened was the county received $42 million in COVID stimulus money. The board voted to split that five ways. There's five supervisors, five districts, so we split it five ways. So we essentially gave the supervisor for that district control over what they were going to do with their money. The federal government essentially gave us four things we could choose from. Water infrastructure, sewer infrastructure, broadband, or direct help to people that have been affected by the pandemic. So I have a diverse district. I have extremely rural areas, and I have part of Lake Havasu City also, and I have Fort Mojave, which has quite a few people. Their needs are different. Havasu does their infrastructure, that's already been put in. So I had to come up with something that was fair to all my constituents. And the easiest way to help them address the situation that their money's been devalued, that they've lost work during the pandemic, was to divide my $8 million up between my 50,000 constituents and then give them a direct payment that they could use for whatever they wanted to use for. Everybody qualifies. The application, the federal's made us put a bunch of income verification things on there, but it's not an income verified program. That just helps you qualify for the program. If you click that you're low income, that's all you got to click. There's 17 different choices of things, and there's an other space. But I wrote it so that everybody qualified, because everybody's been harmed at least $165 worth. If you really think about it, people had to buy vitamins, you had to buy masks, gloves, hand sanitizer. That all adds up. You've at least been damaged to $165.
I would say you could be damaged $165 just in mental stress from it all. Not for me, but there are some people, some of the Karens out there,
right,
and could justify that.
Well, food insecurity also. You know, you had trouble getting a certain kind, and that continues on. We're seeing the supply chain issues even now. But I thought that was a better way to go than me building some government facility that I was then going to have to raise your property taxes to fund in the future. It seemed like it kind of took a little edge off of the devaluation of your money. Mm-hmm. You know, gosh, this month's inflation's 11%.
Right, right.
And Barrett, this, I would rather that they had not given me this money, but had I not taken it, my constituents would have received no benefit from the program. Their money still be devalued. Their prices still went up through inflation.
And you would have divided that $40.2 million by four instead of five.
Either the other supervisors would have grabbed it, or if we all decided we didn't want to take it, it's already there. It's going to get spent.
The great state of Maricopa would probably get it. Let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Oh, hi, Ron. A week or two or so ago, there was an article in the newspaper where you were actually looking for help to process these checks.
Yeah.
Are you still?
I believe so.
Cool.
And the county also has 125 vacancies, so we're looking for employees in general.
I see. How long will that consist of,
a part-time job. We're taking applications for the stimulus payment until the 30th of June, and then it just however long it takes them to process all those and write the checks.
Are some of the ones that were in early going to be processed before June?
As soon as they can get to them, I don't know if they've cut any checks yet, but they're approaching that, because we finally got a couple people hired on so they can actually do something.
Okay, very well. Can you say specifically what it entails for that part-time thing? Is how much is paid in that?
Duties as assigned?
I don't know what the pay scale is, to tell you the truth.
Other duties.
Because I'm not involved in hiring the people.
Right.
Okay.
But well, I'm sure we're paying a competitive wage. You have to pass a background check because you're handling people's personal information.
Right. Would you have to handle a have a background check if you have a CCW?
I would think so.
Okay.
I don't know if they check for the same thing. I think all they're checking for CCW is felonies to make sure that you're not a prohibited possessor of weapons.
All right, very good. Thank you. Appreciate it, Ron.
You're welcome. Right, have a great day.
So I have a question from a listener who asked me this off the air a couple weeks ago. They moved from Bullhead City to Fort Mojave just recently.
Uh-huh.
When do you have to have that residency established in District 5, which is Fort Mojave,
right,
but not Bullhead City?
Right.
When do you have to have that residency established to be eligible for the $165?
June 30th.
Okay.
So if you just
by June 30th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's really no way to delineate it.
Interesting.
But you have to have, you have to have the right documentation. You know, we're going to get, at the minimum, we're going to get your driver's license number, your social security number, and some kind of a utility bill that says that you actually pay utilities there.
Sure, sure.
But so there's probably 28 things on there, but we don't need 28. If you give us 28, that's swell. You know, but
right.
And
it's kind of like getting that gold star on your driver's
sure.
license, right? Give us one in this column and one in this column.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to get all 28. And if you have questions, you can always give my assistant Valerie a call. I can give the phone numbers out if that.
Yeah, go ahead.
So these are both 928 numbers. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, she works out of the Fort Mojave office. 758-0739. Mm-hmm. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, she's at the Lake Havasu office, which is 453-0735. 453-0735. And you can leave a message. She's getting quite a few phone calls, so if you leave a message, make sure you leave your phone number
right.
when you leave us a message. Because my ESP does not work that well. I can't tell what your phone number is just from leaving the message.
Right. And it could cost you $165
sure,
bucks.
Sure. And she'll help you. She'll help you through that. Make sure that you're actually in the district if you're unsure.
Got it. All right. We're going to come back with some other news. Some research that Ron did regarding baby formula, and who knows, it might affect you, and or it might not, right?
Might affect somebody that you know.
Well, I know that you and I are two people that are least likely in this room, right?
Yeah, to
hoard
formula.
Baby formula, to hoard it.
I don't know, I am kind of a prepper, so I might actually have baby formula rat hold.
I'm just so sick of the blame. What is with, I mean, you're going to blame parents for this problem
right.
that you knew about back in February?
Right.
Seriously.
Before the FDA shut down.
They are unbelievable, this White House. It's just unbelievable. President Brandon is, I mean, seriously? These people are, I have no words. We have to go to break.
Yeah, it's just, this is just not the America that I grew up in.
No, it's not. All right, we're with Supervisor's Chair Ron Gould. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
As if all the founding fathers seemed to get it wrong, but I say I still believe in the greatest liberator, innovator, cultivator, freedom knows.
Alright, we're back on Speak Out. And if you have a fear of Friday the 13th, there's two words, but I think I can only say one of them, Ron. It's frigatriskaidekaphobia. I can't say the other one. I don't, it's para something. And believe it or not, there's some Latin American countries, Tuesday the 13th is similarly considered unlucky.
Huh.
Yeah. And then if you have a fear of the number 17, it's heptadecaphobia.
Okay.
All right. Well, we don't have a fear.
I never knew what the basis of why Friday the 13th is bad.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe we'll have to listen to the old Farmer's Almanac for that. Possibly. All right. One thing we do not have a fear of is our Speak Out sponsors, and those are, of course, the team at Mojave Mortgage, Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, and Springberg Wealth Management. And don't forget, we stream live in our show archives are at KNTRTalk.com. And the archives also on the Lake Havasu City app, available at Google Play and the Apple iStore. And those ones, we keep them for about 30 days. They keep them, I don't know, it looks like eternity.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so there's stuff on you all the way back to October.
Yeah. At least it's only back to October, not to like October of 2002.
Yeah, right. Oh, we have those, though. I think we...
Somewhere.
In this computer's got a massive hard drive.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, and MP3s, if you save them in the right bit rate, they're really not that big.
Yeah, they're not that... File-wise. They're not that... They're pretty fast to download also.
If you save them in the right bit rate. Anyway, formula... Baby formula for WIC recipients. Give us an update on that.
Yeah, I just called right before the show started, and WIC has baby formula. And then they said that if they were to run out, they give you a voucher to go buy some at the store, but that doesn't really do you any good if there's none at the store.
So what does that mean? You go to – is there a county office that parents can go to?
Yeah, they run the WIC program for Lake Havasu. They run out of the county building on College.
Interesting.
Up on the north end of town.
Would that be because Byron Stewart's on top of it, or because they just receive a shipment and they know how to, give it out without people hoarding it?
I don't know. Maybe they stockpile it. Rose to the level of me investigating it. But I don't think Byron, as the emergency services director, has anything to do with the WIC program.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying as far as emergency supplies, I would think that that baby formula would be would be an emergency item for those people that have to, let's say, evacuate the Wallapies in case of a fire, something like that.
No, but that's probably a good thing to check into. They've got a guy named Mike Browning also that does some of that stuff too. So I don't know. I should probably look into that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's where we keep it with the insurer that's down in the bunker.
That's the second time you said bunker, and Mark Levin wasn't in the sentence. So tell me, bunker?
There's no bunker that I know of. But you always see these, like, government bunkers. In the one movie we were talking about, it's so that the continuation of government goes on, because we wouldn't want you to have, not be able to be taxed after a crisis. But, nice. The one they kept packing all this Ensure, which is the liquid food that people that have having stomach trouble eat. You know,
I thought that was baby formula for older people.
Yeah,
kinda.
Yeah, sorta. It's like a liquid diet stuff. Sure. So if you got some stomach issues.
And now they make a Walmart brand for it.
They probably do. It doesn't take very long for them.
I don't drink it, but I've seen it.
Oh yeah.
So there you go. Too many carbs in it for me. Believe it or not. You'd look at me, you wouldn't think I even care, right? So anyway, the fairgrounds, we've talked to Buster about this, but it's been a few weeks. What happened with that fairgrounds?
Yeah,
we
picked a location. I think it was a 4-1, vote. The location's off Shinnerump. It's, BLM land. It's one parcel of land, except it's divided by I think it's Shinnerump Road. And then the BLM also has their burro corrals there, too. Kind of they took, like, the middle piece for some reason.
I got you.
But we can get that. We think it's going to cost us about $50,000 for the – it's about 200 acres, maybe 300 acres.
It's actually a smoking deal.
Yeah, the BLM had already designated it for public use, and they wanted to dispose of it.
So that's on the other side from – is there a truck stop right there? Is that the
there is. Yeah. Yeah, that's on the other side.
Right.
This is on the west side of the interstate. So it's got good interstate access. It's closer to Lake Havasu, closer to Bullhead City also.
Right.
So we get a little – hopefully we can get some more people from – other areas to come up to the fair.
Yeah, the only people it's not closer to are the ones that live in that neighborhood where the fairgrounds are now. It's just a...
Doubt they will be heartbroken that it's
just an atrocious location. And I know it wasn't 30 years ago, but that's just bad planning.
Yeah, that was the outskirts of town when they put that there. And then you built houses around it, and then the interstate went through there. you know, right next to it also.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I'd like to see a list of who was on planning and zoning when all that went
They may
through.
Not. It was back in the 40s. It was right after Man. World War II, I think.
No, I mean the subsequent planning that went on top, practically on top of the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And then if you didn't get there at a certain time, you had to park anywhere you could find. I mean, hopefully you had a friend in that neighborhood that would let you park in their driveway.
Yeah, imagine that. It gets pretty annoying for the people that live there. And then also the city of Kingman was limiting what you could do at the fairgrounds, motorsports-wise.
Yeah, because of the noise.
Yeah, no circuses. They had a ban on circuses.
That's like everywhere now. Yeah, circuses aren't politically correct anymore either.
But so that was – and the – the circus is not that big money event, but the motorsports things are big. Those are big money events.
The left would rather see your kids educated on YouTube and I don't know. What's the video now? The PS1? Is that what they call PlayStation? Or what are they up to now? PS6?
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
My grandsons play on a Switch, but I'm not sure what they actually are playing technically.
I gotcha. All right, we're going to take a short break. We're with Supervisor Chairman Ron Gould, and of course, he is the author of the Gould Give Back. You like that?
Yeah, that's good.
The author, the king of the Gould
Ultra Maga.
The Ultra Maga king of the Gould Give Back. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll return in just a moment on Speak Out for a Friday, the 13th. There's your boot in the butt song. All right.
Banned by NBC.
That's it. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And just don't forget, folks, shop local because small business is kind of a big deal.
I like my slogan, the job you save might be your own.
That's it. My favorite is buy local or buy local.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go out with some Toby Keith finale here. Perfect.
Like the bell ringing in the background.
Yeah, right. Like the Liberty Bell.
I think that's what they're doing.
Welcome back on Friday the 13th. Don't be scared, by the way. And
fear not.
Let's talk. You kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier that you have the office of Fort Mojave, you have the office in Havasu, mm-hmm. North Havasu, and
actually my office is downtown.
You could have an office in Yucca, you could have an office in Topoc, you could have an office in Mojave Valley. You know what I mean? It's you represent rural and the cities,
right?
Which is really interesting. The needs between the two.
Sure.
So what are the differences?
Well,
the,
if you look, my district goes. About the top third of Lake Havasu City, or the north third, rather, you know, Desert Hills, Crystal Beach, Havasu Heights, Yucca, Topoc, Golden Shores, Mojave Valley, and Fort Mojave. Those are all pretty different, really. The people, public works-wise, the people in Lake Havasu are served by the city of Lake Havasu. You know, for the most part, a private water district does some of the commercial stuff on the north part of town. But when you get out into the rural areas, it's different because you may have a water district that's a private water district, things like that. Fort Mojave, if there's a pothole, you know, I get a phone call. Because we are the government for, you know, for the unincorporated portions of the county.
Right, right.
You know, again, I got a letter about a messy yard yesterday, so I get to deal with that stuff. It's where
you're the unofficial mayor,
yeah,
of Fort Mojave.
Yeah, you know, if something's going wrong, they get complaints about the highway, also the state highway. And most people don't understand that the state highway is run by, you know, the Department of Transportation.
Yeah, they don't get
the state.
They don't get it. Just like some people say, the you know, the administration is responsible for everything, even local problems.
Sure.
You know? Come on. Really?
Sometimes they are. A lot of it flows down. You know, they create programs that create problems.
Yes.
You know, and you look at the amount of money that flows down from the federal government, they really overtax us. Then they dream up stringed up programs, you know, to push down to justify the fact that they overtax us.
Yeah.
And really, those are local things that should be, that the money should come from local and be spent local.
Yeah, but if you're unhappy with the school bond override, if you're unhappy about your property taxes, you know, you're probably blaming Joe Biden. I'm going to stick up for him
right
at this point. It's probably not the right person
right
to blame.
Yeah, no, that's not by, as much as I'd like to blame every problem in the world on Joe Biden.
I'm Brandon.
Yeah, but yeah. No, that's the local stuff like that.
I got you.
That's, you know, that's local problems.
So speaking of President Brandon, gas prices, how much is that affecting the county right now?
We already spent our budgeted fuel budget back in March. We're on fiscal year, so our fiscal year started the 1st of July. So we went through our year's worth of gas budget in 9 months.
So where does that extra money come from? Is it a contingency?
Yeah, well, we have contingency in reserve.
And how do you buy your gas? Is it on a county card?
Well, it depends on where I am. If I'm up in Kingman, I usually, when I go to the supervisor meeting, I'll go swing by the county yard on Route 66. They have a fueling station there, and I'll fuel there, assuming that we're buying wholesale there.
Okay.
You know, and if I'm around, I have a county credit card that I'll buy gas from. The stations that'll take it, some of the stations won't take it.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just the supervisors that affects. I mean, look at County Assessor Jeannie Kench.
Right.
She lives in Havasu.
Sure. And you've got people running all over the place.
Hilde Angus?
Yeah, the assessors, the people that actually go out and assess the properties, they're driving out to your property to do that. You have the road workers. They're driving to everything. So the fuel is a pretty big piece of our budget. But we have a budget workshop next week. I think it's on Thursday. So they dropped the budget book off the tail end of last week, and the thing's about 8 inches tall.
Oh my goodness.
So it was interesting on the news. They were talking about the marijuana, the windfall of money that the courts are getting from the marijuana legalization.
Windfall?
They got $36.
Yeah, for the Havasu Justice Court?
Yeah, Havasu Justice Court got $36.
$36. And I think that was a payment in March.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't remember that it's something AZ that is the generator for that money. There's a name for the program.
Yeah, it's whatever. It was
Smart and Safe Drugs AZ or something like that.
It was a citizens initiative, so they named it whatever they thought was catchy.
Yeah,
hugs and kisses for puppies and kittens.
Yeah, $36. You're going to have to come up with a little bit more money to make an impact.
Right. So I think this was the first year that anything even got distributed also. So hopefully we'll see some more money on that.
Okay.
That what they're supposed to be reimbursing for is if you had been convicted of a marijuana offense, they can expunge your record. And I believe that's what that money is actually supposed to be reimbursing it for, is the cost of record expungement.
So speaking of Jeannie Kench, I just got a PSA from her via text, and it says, have you heard of this documentary called 2,000 Mules?
Actually, I have.
From Dinesh D'Souza?
Yeah, I watched it on Sunday.
Oh, you did watch it?
Yeah. It's on, I have the link for it. It's on Citizen Free Press.
Right, right. I did see that, but it's also, they have it at Salem.
Yeah.
Salem's the producer on it.
Yeah.
Along with,
yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff that True the Vote group, they bought the cell phone pings around, they did in Arizona, Georgia, and one of the northern states. It was either Pennsylvania or, Wisconsin, but you're being tracked all the time on your cell phone. People don't seem to realize that. But you can buy, if you're an advertiser, you can buy, you know, who was where, you know, who goes to this place, because I want to advertise to them.
Right.
So essentially that's what True the Vote did, is they bought the cell phone ping data around these drop boxes. We didn't use drop boxes in Mojave County. They used in Maricopa County, though. And I don't know what is the logic for a Dropbox when you could just mail the thing in. I haven't figured that out, but
I know what the logic is. It's called ballot harvesting.
Yeah, but you could put a stamp on those if you're paying people to dump them in the box. You could put a stamp on them too. I don't know if the level would think it would still need the signature to go in the Dropbox. Maybe it doesn't. But they if you're buying ballots from people, putting a stamp on them is not really that big of an expense.
Well, the title of the movie comes from 2,000 mules. They pinged this group, apparently pinged a bunch of cell phones of people that were dropping off ballots in drop boxes at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., after polls had closed.
Yeah, what they did, there was a cutoff. They only got the people that had been there 8 times or more. So they weeded it down to if you'd been by this drop, within 6 feet of this drop box more than 8 times.
Sure.
And then they actually pulled up the security camera footage, and you can see these people dropping numerous ballots into the boxes. And most of the states, Arizona ballot harvesting is illegal, and I believe it's illegal in Georgia also. But it just shows it talks about how they figured this out, and they gave a number of what they thought. They just estimated they had X amount of people that had been within 6 feet of these drop boxes more than 8 times, and the number of ballots that they averaged like 5 ballots a drop, which is more than enough to sway the election in any of the states that they did it in.
So the reason I mentioned Jeannie is she texted me and said that there will be a showing of 2,000 mules at Stars Cinema next Sunday, the 22nd at 3 p.m., presented by the Mojave County Republican Central Committee. And I'm trying to find out what the location is on that, and hopefully Jeannie apparently was close by. I was trying to get her to come into the studio. And there she is. Look at that. On demand. She walks into the room, and I can get more. She's not stealing your thunder, by the way. This is kind of important.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I can't hear you until you put your headsets on, please. And then I can hear you. And you know where your volume is, of course. And welcome to the show, Jeannie.
Well, hello. How are you?
You get to steal the supervisor's thunder.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can never steal his thunder.
You're both elected officials,
though. He's
pretty
loud. So. He's got a pretty good thunder.
So, tell me, I know what the documentary is about. I've seen the trailer. It's amazing. The round table is amazing with Dennis Prager, Larry Elder. You had Sebastian Gorka and then Dinesh D'Souza showing them all proof. Of these mules.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want to give it away. Right. I want people to come see it.
So where do they go?
Stars Cinema at the mall.
Oh, at the mall.
At the mall.
Okay.
Yes.
Because the way you spelled stars was like stars on demand.
Oh, you know? No. Okay. Yeah. No. No. But they've been real gracious down there at the mall to allow us to put a showing out and for. Please spread the word. You're our first stop.
Great. I'm part of community spread now.
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, it's a really interesting trailer. The trailer is just like, whoa. It's bigger than Obama's America. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, I agree.
From what I saw. And I saw Obama's America in the Riverside cinemas on the big screen.
Oh, okay. Now I know. You're
yeah, you remember the first Dinesh D'Souza documentary,
right?
The one that landed. Well, I claim it landed him in jail for tax evasion. You know, remember when the IRS targeted him?
He didn't go to jail for that, though.
I thought that's what he went to jail for.
No, illegal campaign contribution.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Who goes to jail for that?
That's right? What's weird is who.
You can throw a rock through a federal building window.
He had made
a
max donation to somebody his that was running for Congress, and then he said, told his buddy. Hey, you make a donation and I'll reimburse you. Which
and
is
he went
illegal,
to jail
but it,
for that?
Yeah, he did. He went did like 11 months in Club Fed.
Wow.
That's why. Yeah. Yeah.
Of
good
course
for him.
Not.
He has a lot of courage.
Of course he does. And he's been a guest speaker before at the Republican.
Yes, he's come to our dinner. Yes, very
Lincoln
nice man.
Day dinner, right?
Mm-hmm. He's fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, one of his best movies. I'm really excited about
this. This one is?
Yeah, yeah. They've already made over $10 million. It's only been out for a week.
Wow.
It's really popular.
So Ron's seen it too. Yeah.
Yeah, I kept getting people sending me the link on Sunday.
All right, perfect. So what are we missing here, Ron? We talked about the rural versus the cities, right? And we talked about the Gould Give Back.
The differences between the rural and the
city.
Oh,
and I love that. Gould Give Back. That's
he came up with it, not me.
Oh, I love it.
You thought I came up with it. No,
yeah, and Val's doing a fantastic job, too. I got to plug her because she actually, you know, on a side note, contacted me, wanted to make sure everything was done, you know, with my household. And, boy, she's just doing a great job.
Sure. Thanks for the PSA.
She was working with the assessor's office also, figuring out which properties were actually inside the district,
right.
too.
Mm-hmm. Jeannie, while I got you here, are you surprised about the announcement from Denise Burley? No comment?
No comment.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't think I'm surprised.
You're not surprised.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that job was just, I think it was taking its toll. I could see it about 6 months in.
It was very
into the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, where can people, again, Ron, give out those numbers where people can get the paperwork for their $165 Gould Give Back.
Give my assistant Valerie a call. Fort Mojave office, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday is 758-0739. And Tuesdays and Thursdays, she's at her Lake Havasu office, 453-0735, 453-0735. There's a web portal, but we're reluctant to broadcast the web portal address because we don't want people hacking it in.
I gotcha. So, and then the Republican picnic?
Yeah, July 16th.
Are there still tickets available?
We're getting the tickets will be available this week, available at the headquarters. Just give us a call. July 16th is the date.
Which is sooner than normal.
Yes.
By a week or so.
Well, our
it's still during early voting, isn't it?
Right, and our election is a
August
week 2nd. Earlier.
Yeah, they keep creeping. The primary keeps creeping up a week. It seems like every election.
Yeah, so this probably is going to be the last speeches for these candidates prior to the election. So they're excited.
It's kind of like baseball season. It goes a week longer every year. Seriously, into November now.
Uh-huh.
You know, Reggie Jackson would be called Mr. November now instead of Mr. October.
The more games they have, the more money they make.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. That is, and now they've got a different playoff structure. More teams are getting in this year. So probably by Thanksgiving, we'll have a World Series winner, hopefully. You know, I say
then
hopefully.
They'll have it some warm climate place.
Yeah, right. So, okay, so, the big news, folks, Denise Burley is leaving the county on August 5th. So she's already put in her notice. And we got the press release pretty much before anybody else. And
scooped them.
We did. That's called live radio, you know. And, I'm surprised I'm surprised she gave that much notice, but.
That is quite a bit of notice.
It's a classy move all the same.
Sure. And I appreciate it, and I'm sure the other members do, and Sam appreciates it.
Right.
But, that way we can actually get somebody lined up before she leaves and we aren't leaderless in that department.
So I saw your name on a press release that wasn't recent, but it was like in the last month or so that you have officially endorsed Matt Salmon.
Yeah, I endorsed Matt Salmon about a year ago.
But this was official.
Yeah.
As the, you know, chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, I got a call right after he decided to run. I've been friends with Matt for years. I worked on his campaign back in 2002. When he ran for governor and ended up getting beat by 10,000 votes. Strangely enough, 10,000 votes by Janet Napolitano.
Right. Well, we're not saying that she had 2,000 mules or anything. Are
we? I don't know what was going on there. They blamed it on Indian gaming because there was an Indian gaming compact was on the ballot at that time.
Is that their magic number, 10,000?
Maybe that's it. We got to find those 10,000 folks.
All right.
Change their mind. No, Matt's a good guy. Matt was a congressman. He went into Congress in 1994 with Newt Gingrich and the Contract with America, where they pledged that they would only serve 6 years. Only six of them only served 6 years. Matt was one of the six that actually kept his promise and came home. So that's the kind of guy that Matt is.
Wow. All right. That does it for Friday. Do you have that fear of Friday the 13th, by the way, Gene?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
That's good.
I got to look up the bait. What is the basis for this fear?
But I never stay on the 13th floor.
A lot of times they don't have a 13th floor.
I know.
You know, it's funny. We talk about Friday the 13th. On Saturday the 14th, I always play games on Saturday as far as soccer goes.
Uh-huh.
I usually scored a goal on Saturday the 14th. It's kind of a joke between my brother and I. Are you going to get a goal today or two? You know, so yeah, I almost always scored a goal on Saturday the 14th. It's just the way, you know, you put your mind to anything, right? So, all right. Thanks for being here, Ron.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. County Supervisor's Chair, Ron Gould, and, of course, County Assessor and GOP Chair for the county,
yes,
Jeannie Kench.
Thanks for having
also
me.
Also, a Havasuvian.
Woohoo!
Two Havasuvians in the house. All right. Oh, you're a yuckin.
Yucky. Yuckian.
You're a yucky? Is
yucky.
That what they call them?
I think of something better than that.
A yuckin. All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Welcome back to Speak Out this Friday, the 13th. Hannity's coming up next following the news break and, of course, the weather. And we've got a great week set up for next week. We've got the two chiefs coming in, Chief Doyle and Chief Pete. On Monday, we've got Erase Program Coordinator Todd Davison. He's the guy who polices those illegal dumps out in the desert. We're going to have him on the program again on Tuesday. That's along with the coordinator for Red Light Rebellions. We've got the Real Estate Power Hour on Wednesday. Boom! That was a late boom. Sorry about that, Chad. And Vet Center Coordinator Stacy Lee is they're opening that Vet Center today, by the way. And she's going to be on the program on Thursday. And then we'll have Go Lake Havasu CEO Terrence Concannon and Mike Bonnie from GDK LLC. So I promised a great week, and we delivered. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Stay hydrated. It's going to be around 105 this weekend, both days. We'll see you on Monday on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.